Welcome, everyone. Ready to dive deep into some seriously cool science?
Always up for a good deep dive.
Today, we're tackling self-replicating molecules.
The building blocks of life, going all the way back to the beginning.
We're basing this deep dive on Cocktail Party Chemistry, Episode 65. They give us 5 key insights into this whole chemistry of life thing.
5 insights? Sounds like a good framework.
Exactly. And by the end, you'll be armed with enough knowledge to impress even the biggest science nerd at your next party.
That's the goal.
All right, let's jump right in. First things first. When we say self-replicating molecules, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, it might sound a bit like science fiction.
It kind of does.
But at its core, it's about molecules having this incredible ability to make copies of themselves.
So like a molecule just decides, hey, I'm going to make another me.
Exactly. And this process, as simple as it sounds, is absolutely fundamental to life as we know it.
Okay, I'm starting to see why this is a big deal. But how does that actually work? How does a molecule just dot copy itself?
Think of it like a 3D printer. You have a blueprint, the right materials, and boom, a perfect replica.
So the molecule has a set of instructions and the parts to build another one.
Precisely. And without replication, there's no inheritance, no variation, and no evolution. Pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. It really is. So we've got these self-replicating molecules, the superstars of life. But how did they even appear in the first place? We're talking about a time before life as we know it.
Ah, that's where prebiotic chemistry takes center stage. Trying to unravel how life arose from non-living matter, that's the big challenge. It's called abiogenesis.
Abiogenesis, got it. But where do you even start with something like that?
You gotta rewind way back. Imagine early Earth. Volcanoes erupting, lightning storms raging. The atmosphere was totally different from what we have today. Scientists believe all of this created what they call a primordial soup.
Primordial soup? Sounds interesting.
Right. This soup was filled with simple molecules just bumping into each other, reacting and forming more complex molecules. It was like a giant chemistry experiment, but on a planetary scale.
Okay, now that's a picture I can get behind. A planet-sized chemistry set. Are there any real-world examples of scientists trying to recreate this soup?
Absolutely. The Miller-Urey experiment is a classic example. They basically simulated the early Earth's atmosphere, added an electric spark to mimic lightning, and guess what? They were able to create amino acids.
No way. Amino acids, those are the building blocks of protein.
You got it. It was a massive leap forward in understanding how life's building blocks might have first formed.
Okay, so we've got our primordial soup, amino acids forming, and eventually those self-replicating molecules pop up.
Oh, yeah.
But are we talking about DNA here?
DNA is definitely important, the blueprint of life as we know it, but current research suggests that RNA might have been the first self-replicating molecule.
RNA? I thought RNA was just a helper molecule, you know, working alongside DNA to build proteins.
Right, RNA does play that role. But what's really cool about it is its versatility. It can store genetic information like DNA.
Oh, so it can hold the blueprint too.
Exactly. But it can also act as a catalyst, speeding up chemical reactions, much like an enzyme.
So it's like a multi-tool.
Exactly. That dual functionality makes RNA a very strong contender for that first self-replicating molecule.
Makes sense. It can both hold the information and do the building.
Yeah.
But how did we get from those early simple RNA molecules to all the complex life we see today?
Huh.
That feels like a huge jump.
And it is. But that's where the idea of molecular evolution comes in. Natural selection doesn't just act on organisms. It acts on molecules themselves.
Okay, so we're zooming in, looking at evolution on a tiny scale.
Precisely. Imagine a pool of those early self-replicating RNA molecules. Some might have slight variations. Maybe they replicate faster. Maybe they're more stable in certain conditions.
It's like a microscopic survival of the fittest, where the best molecules win out.
Exactly. Over vast periods, this molecular level selection could lead to more complex molecules and systems, paving the way for life as we know it.
So the same forces that shape the evolution of species are also at play at the molecular level. That's amazing.
It really highlights the interconnectedness of everything.
Absolutely.
And speaking of interconnectedness, scientists today are exploring synthetic life, trying to create artificial cells and self-replicating systems in the lab. It's a field with incredible potential.
Creating life in the lab sounds like something we should definitely explore further.
Agreed.
Synthetic life. It's fascinating, but I have to admit, it's a little unsettling, too. Scientists creating life in the lab, it sounds like something straight out of a sci-fi movie.
It definitely pushes the boundaries of what we thought was possible, but maybe instead of thinking Frankenstein, Think more like Legos.
Okay, Legos, how so?
Scientists are using the building blocks of life to create new systems with specific functions, much like you would build a Lego structure with a particular purpose in mind.
So it's more about engineering than, you know, creating some kind of artificial monster.
Right. It's about harnessing the power of self-replication for a purpose.
I like that. Purposeful creation. So what kind of purposes are we talking about? What are scientists building with these biological Legos?
Well, it's not little creatures running around in petri dishes, at least not yet. Right now, the focus is on creating self-replicating molecules and artificial cells that can do very specific things.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Think about producing medicines, breaking down pollutants, even generating energy.
Wow, that's incredible. So we're talking about solving real-world problems using the power of self-replication.
Exactly.
Speaking of real-world problems, there's one that's been on everyone's mind: climate change. Could self-replicating molecules play a role in tackling this massive challenge?
Absolutely. Imagine self-replicating molecules designed to capture carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, or maybe break down plastic pollution in the oceans.
Now that would be a game changer.
It would.
Okay, let's shift gears for a second. This whole conversation has been pretty mind-blowing, but how does it all connect back to us, to our health?
Well, remember how we talked about RNA's amazing ability to be both a carrier of genetic information and a catalyst for chemical reactions?
Yeah, RNA, the multi-tool.
Exactly. That versatility makes RNA super important in many cellular processes, including those involved in disease.
So if we can understand how RNA works at this fundamental level, we might be able to develop new treatments.
You got it. Scientists are exploring ways to manipulate RNA to target specific genes and proteins. Genes and proteins involved in a huge range of diseases, cancer, genetic disorders, even viral infections.
So RNA could be the key to a whole new frontier in medicine.
It has that potential. Mm-hmm. It could revolutionize how we diagnose and treat illness.
It's incredible to think that something so tiny, a molecule, can have such a huge impact on our health.
It really highlights that interconnectedness we were talking about.
It does. And it brings us back to that core concept: self-replication. It's the driving force behind life as we know it. It shapes who we are, how our bodies work, how we interact with the world.
It's a powerful force.
I'm starting to see the world in a whole new light. Everything is replicating, evolving, adapting. It's like a giant invisible dance happening all around us.
And we're just beginning to learn the steps.
That's a great way to put it. We've talked about the science, the potential benefits, the applications. But what about the risks? I mean, is there a downside to this whole self-replication thing?
It's absolutely crucial to consider both sides of the coin. Like with any powerful technology, there's always the potential for misuse or unintended consequences.
Like what? What kind of risks are we talking about?
Well, imagine someone created a self-replicating molecule that, you know, went rogue, started causing harm.
Okay. Yeah, that's a scary thought, like a sci-fi nightmare come true.
It's not entirely impossible, which is why it's so important for scientists to be incredibly careful, have strict ethical guidelines in place.
That makes sense. So it's a balancing act, pushing the boundaries of science while also proceeding with caution.
Precisely. The scientific community is very aware of these potential risks and is working hard to ensure that research is conducted responsibly.
Well, that's reassuring. So we've covered a lot of ground already, but I'm curious what's next. What are scientists most excited about in the world of self-replication research? What's on the horizon?
One area that's really buzzing right now is the use of self-replicating molecules in nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology, huh? We're going even smaller.
Exactly. Imagine tiny machines built from self-replicating components, essentially microscopic robots.
Microscopic robots. Okay, now that's something straight out of a sci-fi movie.
I know, right? But it's becoming reality. These nanobots would be able to repair themselves, adapt to their environment, and carry out complex tasks at an incredibly small scale.
So what can we actually use these nanobots for?
The possibilities are almost endless. Think about targeted drug delivery. These nanobots could navigate through the bloodstream and deliver medication directly to diseased cells.
Wow. So precise.
Right. Or picture them cleaning up environmental toxins, repairing damaged tissue, even constructing new materials, atom by atom.
It's mind-boggling. I have to admit, it's a lot to take in. It's both incredibly exciting and a little overwhelming.
It's a lot, for sure. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. But remember, it's not about memorizing every single fact. It's about sparking your curiosity, expanding your understanding of this amazing world. appreciating the incredible power of science.
Well, you've definitely achieved that. I'm seeing the world in a whole new light, literally on a much smaller scale. But before my brain completely melts down from all this incredible science, maybe we should take a little break.
Sounds like a good plan. We'll be back in a bit to wrap up our exploration of self-replicating molecules and leave you with some final thoughts to ponder.
Okay, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dives into self-replicating molecules. Those microscopic robots cleaning up pollution? That image is seriously stuck in my head. It's like we're already living in the future.
Oh, it does feel pretty futuristic, right? But the implications of self-replication might extend even further beyond our planet.
Wait, are we talking about aliens now? Is this where you tell me we're not alone in the universe?
Well, I can't confirm or deny the existence of extraterrestrial life. But, you know, the fact that molecules can replicate themselves here on Earth, it does make you wonder about the origins of life, not just here, but anywhere out there in the vastness of space.
So if it happened here, it could theoretically happen elsewhere. There could be self-replicating molecules, maybe even life as we know it, on other planets.
It's certainly a possibility. Just think about the sheer number of stars and planets out there, each one with its own unique environment, its own chemical mix. If the conditions are right, who's to say self-replicating molecules couldn't emerge? And from there, well, who knows what's possible?
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty mind-blowing thought. It's definitely going to take me a while to process all of this.
Take your time. It's a lot to take in. But, you know, that's part of what makes science so captivating. It constantly challenges our understanding of the world and opens up these incredible new avenues for exploration.
I think it's safe to say our deep dive into self-replicating molecules has been a success.
Right.
We've covered so much ground, molecules copying themselves, the potential for synthetic life, nanobots, even the possibility of life on other planets.
It's been quite a journey, and honestly, we've only just scratched the surface of this fascinating field.
I'm definitely feeling more informed, but also a lot more humbled by how much we still don't know. It makes you realize that the quest for knowledge, it's never really over.
That's the beauty of science, right? There's always more to discover, more to understand. It's a constant process of exploration and discovery.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive. But before we go, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder. If scientists can create self-replicating molecules in a lab, what does that tell us about the potential for life to exist elsewhere in the universe? It's a question worth thinking about. And maybe one day, science will have the answer. Until then, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the wonders of the world around us.